If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray. If my people, which are called by my name, shall seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then will I hear and will forgive.
My brethren and I would like to greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we have come here to touch the eternal. We have come here to worship, to leave the world behind. And for your reading, for our call to worship, I would invite you. The scripture which has been selected this day is found in Luke, but it's also Isaiah 61:1. And this is where I will be reading from. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And also from Matthew 11, 29 and 30. Then spake Jesus, saying, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so I would ask you to ponder these words in your heart as we prepare for worship, and may you continue to remember our brother Bill as he stands ready to break that word of life, the words of eternal life, that you indeed may find rest, that you may find peace in your souls this day. We will continue through our service now with the singing of hymn number 400.
Heavenly Father, we humbly come today inviting your Spirit to be with us, to encourage us, and to bless us. Lord, I ask that you be with my brother Bill and bless the words that comes out of his mouth. Let them be from you, Father. We come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Open our minds and our hearts to hear your words. Help us to continue to thirst for your gospel, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and your grace and your encouragement, Lord. Please bless us. We thank you and we love you. And I thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Lord and our Savior and our friend. It is with his name that I thank you, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
For my offertory scripture, I'd like to read from the Doctrine and Covenants, section 6, 3, A, B, and C. Now, as you have asked, behold, I say unto you, keep my commandments, and seek to bring forth and establish the cause of Zion. Seek not for riches, but for wisdom. And behold, the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto you, and then shall you be made rich. Behold, he that hath eternal life is rich. That's one of my favorite scriptures. Behold, he that hath eternal life is rich. Because people of the world are obsessed with money. They want money, money, and even more money. But we have an opportunity for eternal life. Therefore, we are far richer than those that have billions and billions of dollars. Behold, he that hath eternal life is rich. Will you bow with me? Our righteous and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee for all the wondrous gifts that thou hast so generously bestowed upon us. And now as we have an opportunity to give back unto thee a portion of what we owe thee, we ask thee that thou wouldst bless the money that we give, that it might go to where thou wouldst have it go. This we ask in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
For my scripture reading this morning, I'd like to read from the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter, starting with the fourth verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be afflicted for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. First, I'd like to thank you, Sherilyn, for your ministry of music, and for you, Brenda, sharing your talent with us. And I was sitting here, I was thinking about those days that I've seen your little girls join you there at that microphone and singing those wonderful hymns of praise to our Father. And I'm sure that in your household there have been fine memories made. I'm sure Joel and Isaac can attest to this when they've heard you sing together there in your home, practicing, developing their talent. And I just appreciate your gifts. I'd like to welcome you each and every one to the house of the Lord This, the first day of the week, this very first day that we can come and be inspired, hopefully, for those challenges that will face us in this new week to come. The Lord has been very good to us. As I've looked over you and this congregation, seen your smiling faces and seen those many miracles that have happened in your life, those answers to your prayers and supplication. And I'm sure that our God has recorded your prayers in heaven, and He is to answer each and every one of those prayers according to His will, His time, and His blessing. I'd like just to reiterate some of those thoughts from that verse of Scripture that I read in my opening. Certainly, as we see the sun shining, it is a day to rejoice. Truly, a day to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice, for the Lord and His goodness that is upon us. The Lord is at hand. The Lord desires to extend His right hand to us to lift us up during those trials, those temptations, those persecutions, whatever it might be. The Lord is at hand. And we are to be afflicted for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then that promise, that everlasting promise, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This topic of peace in Jesus Christ is what I'd like to share with you this day. It has been already mentioned that that rest and that peace might be to you, each one, as you've gathered into this place. Those were the words of our brother Justin that he shared with us in his reading. I'd like to take you now to the book of John, 20th chapter. And relate this story somewhat to you for your consideration as we consider this peace of Jesus Christ. Now, it was still the first day of the week. It was yet dark when Mary Magdalene and the other women came to the sepulcher to anoint the body of Jesus. And there she found the stone rolled away and two angels sitting nearby. And she was asked, "Whom do you seek?" And they told her that the Lord had risen. She immediately went and told her friends, the disciples, the fact, and then they went and saw that the stone had been rolled away and Jesus was no longer in the sepulcher. And then she went back. The account is that Mary went back. And when she saw the Savior, as she turned around and said, "Where have you laid my Master?" She didn't recognize Jesus at very first. Then Jesus said to her the simple words, "Mary." And she recognized that sweet, still, small voice of Jesus Christ. And then she responded, Master? Then I'll read that account in verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, Hold me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and my God and your God. And Mary hurriedly went and told the disciples that she had seen the risen Savior. And then the same day at evening, first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, his first words to his disciples after his resurrection that are recorded here in the book of John. And simply he said, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Evidently, those wounds have never been healed in the hands and feet of Jesus. No, that wound in his side. For we have a little more vivid account in the 24th chapter of Luke. And after then he had said, Peace unto you, behold my hands and my feet, that is I, myself, handle me, and see for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And thus he had spoken and showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were yet wondering, it says here, he says, Do you have any meat? And they immediately give him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. Now, Thomas was not present there in that account in John when he met with those disciples in that room. Says the doors were shut, and he appeared in their midst. But Thomas was not there. Then 8 days later, he appeared unto the disciples once again. And this is what he had said after Thomas had made these remarks. After they had told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands and the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Again, his first words to that group, as he met there in the midst of them once again, the doors being shut, Peace be unto you. Then saith he unto Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said, My Lord and my God. We know at the resurrection that we'll be restored to that perfect, proper, and perfect frame. And as Christ was resurrected, he was resurrected in that perfect and proper frame. But those wounds in his hands and his feet and in his side evidently were never healed completely. And that was because he is yet to be that testimony to the world that he is the Christ, only begotten Son of the Father, that it was the will of the Father that he should be lifted up and suffer those pains of death that we might be forgiven of our sins. So we see in that resurrection there is a proper order to things. He must have been restored to a point that his disciples couldn't recognize him and Mary Magdalene could not recognize him. Perhaps he had lost a few years of those trials and tribulations and that flogging and that time on the cross, which they all had viewed. And he was restored to that youthful frame, restored perfectly, other than his wounds were never healed. And then he said to Mary, "Hold me not, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." So in the resurrection, I'm assuming that this is a pattern once again. We're told that there has already been a resurrection of all of those that have died righteously in Christ up until the time that he was resurrected. He was the first one resurrected, the firstborn. So immediately upon that resurrection, they must ascend to the Father to receive his glory and his power and his might. And then he was given that will to transcend through those walls, through that closed door, just to will himself in the midst of the disciples. So I believe this is another part of that order of things, that you just will yourself to come and be a part of your family here. Have you ever thought about that? Those that have been resurrected have that perhaps ability to will themselves in your presence. Perhaps those that are in paradise even have that pleasure, that ability. One day we'll find out for sure. And then another thing is that Jesus ate. He consumed that broiled fish and that honeycomb, and he ate before them. It says in the second chapter of the book of Revelation that in the midst of the garden of, or the paradise, in the midst of paradise, there is the tree of life. So I'm assuming there's going to be eating and partaking there in that realm as well. Is to bear 12 fruits. And the leaves are for the healing of the nations. That's what it says there in second book of Revelation, 7th chapter, I believe. There certainly must have been that void in the side of Jesus' chest where that spear pierced between his ribs, because the scriptures tell us that there was never one bone broken in that crucifixion. But there must have been a void there that you could thrust your hand into it yet. Perhaps that wound that is still open. because of our crucifying the Lord afresh. I'm sure you've tried to be diligent in your seeking out His forgiveness for those sins that you have committed during the course of your life. Those things that you're still doing, that you're still asking forgiveness for. Perhaps this is one reason why those wounds are yet still visible. Because we as His children are still crucifying Him afresh. He's looking for that pure people to help Him in the establishment of Zion. Peace defined. I looked this up on the internet and this is what it said. Peace is the freedom from disturbance, quietness, tranquility, mental calm, serenity. The peace of Jesus Christ brings to us that contentment, that happiness, that joy, that comfort, confidence, assurance, and hope in His promises. Don't we cling to all of those promises that we've been given? That He will extend His right hand to us during those times of trial, during those times that we've been tested. Don't we cling to that promise of that great and glorious day of Zion being established here in the center place? We're admonished to purchase lands here in Jackson County and counties roundabout for our inheritance, that one day we may be worthy to stand in this place. The peace that passeth all understanding is what the Prince of Peace wishes for you and for me. In Isaiah 9, we read these words, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Of the increase of His government and peace, there is no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The mighty God, the Prince of Peace. The increase of His peace, there is no end. We're told that there's three things that we need to be doing. Firstly is to ask. Ask of Him what it is His will for us to do in these last days. And then we're told that we will receive. Second thing is to seek. And then we're told that we would find. And the third thing is to knock, and it will be open unto us. There are those things that take away this peace of Jesus Christ in our minds and in our hearts. And it is that fear, that worry, or that anxiety that stresses us all so frequently in our experience in this day-to-day living on this side of heaven. Fear, worry, and anxiety takes away that peace. In John 14 chapter, we read these two little word sentence. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Remembering that He is walking with us each day of our life. No matter what our situation is, no matter what trial we face, no matter what sorrow we bear, no matter pain or affliction that is ours to endure, He is there to lift us up to His holy peace. Perfect love casts out fear. Second Timothy, we read these words. First chapter. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Have you ever thought about your purpose? Your purpose in this life, for those years that you have been granted to live and partake of His holy blessings, His holy peace. That purpose that we were given by Him in the very beginning. I believe that we all have been given a purpose to fulfill before He'll take us home. I've often prayed that He would hurry up and help me finish that purpose. Because I feel I'm more than ready for that glorious reunion one day. To be with my loved ones that have passed on before. I look forward to that promise. When we will be in that state of happiness, that state of rest, that state of peace in paradise. What a joy that will be. What a promise I'm looking forward to. But we all have been given that promise and a purpose to be fulfilled in our lifetime on this side of heaven before we are able to return back home to our Father and our God. Jesus truly wants to be a greater part of our life. He wants to be in us. His very spirit in us, and our very spirit in Him, in that oneness together. He wants us to hold us up by His right hand. He wants to be our friend, our Savior, and our Prince of Peace. In the second book of John, John relates to us that threefold blessing that he has prayed for the saints in his day. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be in us forever, threefold blessing. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Grace, mercy, peace. We know that by His grace we are saved, and by His mercy we are forgiven, and by His peace we are comforted with that Holy Spirit of promise. That promise, if we will endure to the end, believing, having faith, that we will receive that celestial glory at that time of that last judgment. Celestial glory is that plan of God for you and for me. We are to walk in love. You know, it's much easier to smile than it is to frown, we're told. It takes more muscles to frown than it is to smile. And that is part of that walking in love. To be that example, not only to our family, but to our friends and to everyone that we come in contact with. We are to exemplify that light of Christ, to take upon us His image in our countenance. And when He is in us, we are walking in Christ. We are His example. Walking in love, we will receive His holy peace. And that love certainly is charity. And charity is defined as a pure love of Christ. And with that pure love of Christ, we can only rejoice and be glad in it. Then reverting back to the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, 6th chapter, starting with the 24th verse. And this is His promise to you, each one this day, as you hear these words read, very familiar words, Numbers 6th chapter, 24th through the 26th verse. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. That holy peace that passes understanding is what He wishes for you this day. If I would say anything more, it would be that I believe that it would be Jesus' will to say to you, remind you of that same thing that He spoke to His disciples just prior to His going to His crucifixion, found in the 14th chapter of the book of John. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you.
Our Father, which art in heaven, Father, we do come to you today with thankful hearts, recognizing the power and presence of your Spirit and the gift of your Son, Jesus, in whom we worship, Father. And we recognize that he is the giver of all that we enjoy, and our honors to him and to thee we wish to employ. You have given us so much, Father, and blessed us so richly. And we've been weak from time to time, Father, but we know that you are there to lift us up. And it is through your Son, Jesus, that we come, Father, to worship thee and to hold thee before us. And in these times that we now live, Father, we recognize that you are always present, and it's upon you who we can call in times of need. So praise you, Father, and thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Be with us as we go to our homes, I pray, in the name of your Son, even Jesus the Christ. Amen.